This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening, this is Inside Story with Sharmila Ganesan. Today we're looking at the government's stance on those who have chosen not to get vaccinated, following a warning by the health minister that they will be, I'm quoting here, making life difficult for this group. First, we discuss the government's firm approach and whether this sort of messaging is effective. Then we discuss the various reasons for vaccine hesitancy and whether a more targeted approach is needed to address them. Share your thoughts with us. Do you agree with the government that we should make life difficult for those who choose not to get vaccinated? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:08 and the government seems to be ramping up their attempts to convince more people to get vaccinated. And conversely, of course, I think apply more pressure on those who have chosen not to. So over the weekend, the Health Minister, Khairi Jamaluddin, has said that the government may not impose a blanket mandate for COVID-19 vaccinations, but that they will be making life more difficult for those who refuse to be vaccinated. So he said that they want to, they will basically be looking at a number of different things. So for instance, in the civil service, individuals who refuse vaccinations without a proper medical reason may face disciplinary action. But in a larger sense, they're also considering things like making compulsory weekly COVID-19 testing for people who refuse or purposely delay their COVID-19 vaccines, particularly the fact that the government won't be paying for the cost of those testings. He also said that, as it were, you already can't go, for instance, into shopping malls, or you can't dine in if you aren't vaccinated. He did also say that further restrictions may be imposed. He hasn't yet elaborated what those might be. Now, it's I think it's the language or the forcefulness of this message that has gotten a lot of attention, right? So this phrase of making life difficult is something that's been quoted in many places. In fact, opposition leader Anwar Ibrahim has put out a statement saying he doesn't agree with the health minister's forceful approach, and said that perhaps the government should be raising awareness instead. He said that although he doesn't support anti-vaccination groups, he believes that some of their arguments might have they have made strong arguments, and that he said that you would need a strong scientific argument to counter that, and not instead resort to punishments or threats. Now, I think that there are a number of things to unpack here, because on the one hand, I think as we move towards reaching our target vaccination goal, the question of whether this sort of a I suppose some people might view it as a hard stance on getting vaccinated is going to be effective, because if we're talking to people who have very specific reasons for not wanting to get that shot, whether then perhaps we should be, instead of making life difficult for them, addressing what their concerns might be or taking into account what those different reasons are. But on the other hand, whether perhaps it is part of that idea of social responsibility, that if you want to partake in society at large, be able to participate in activities that everyone else is doing in a safe manner, whether this is the fair thing to do. So I think those are the two sides that we want to look at in today's Inside Story. We'll be looking at this firm hand that the government seems to be taking with people who refuse to get vaccinated, but also looking at where vaccine hesitancy really is coming from, what the factors are, what the concerns are, and how perhaps to address them in a more targeted way. We'd like to hear from you. Do you agree with the government that we should make life difficult for those who choose not to get vaccinated? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be joined by Amin Kamal, who is Head of Science and Technology at Emir Research. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:12. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila. And today we're discussing vaccine hesitancy or the refusal to get vaccinated and how the government is addressing it. We'd like to hear from you. Do you agree with the government that we make life difficult for those who chose not to get vaccinated? That, of course, is something our health minister has said. Let us know your thoughts. You can call 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, to understand the stand that the government is making, we're joined by Amin Kamal, Head of Science and Technology at Amir Research. Amin, thanks for speaking with us today. So over the weekend, the health minister said that the government intends to, and I'm quoting here, make life difficult for those who choose not to get vaccinated. What are your thoughts on taking this approach?
Well, before I answer that and get deeper into that, allow me to just explain that this whole vaccine hesitancy, trust deficit is actually at the heart of the issue. So there's two reasons. The inability of people to either comprehend or make critical assessment on the information available, or they distrust the information or the information provider, regardless of comprehension. So trust deficit is at the heart of vaccine hesitancy. And we have to understand that's at the deeper crisis that's underlying this. And if I were to summarize it, it's the cumulative global, not just locally, global governing and economic practices, which has brewed well before COVID-19 pandemic. So the reason I mention this is that this sets the tone on how authorities and corporations should engage the people. If you think about the spat between USA and China, global superpowers with negative reputational issues on their own. And of course, this entire things involve big pharma who are, of course, plagued with reputational issues themselves. And of course, all this income disparity. So coming back to your question, Sharmila, the way I feel about it is that if you're engaging the public on such things that are rooted in vaccine hesitancy and it's rooted in trust deficit, you have to be engaging it in a way that's more thoughtful. So, but that said, my quick thought is that it came from a good place, a good intention. The health minister said it because he believes it would bring about the best outcome, and that is to get as many people as vaccinated as possible. And these anti-vaxxers represent the final hurdle for the vaccination program for Malaysia. So the last lap is usually the hardest, and therefore it's understandable that Khairi is frustrated. That said, I believe it could have been said better.
Now, if we look in a larger sense of this method of restricting mobility and access to unvaccinated individuals, something that we're seeing not just here, of course, but in other countries as well, has that been effective?
We've only tried this for a while compared to some of the countries who've reduced restrictions much earlier. So I believe it's too soon to tell. But in the very near term, at least, it will be marginal, given a high percentage of vaccinated people, relatively. And when we talk about restriction, mobility, access, denial of services and whatnot, we're usually referring to urban areas with high vaccinated population. And we have to remember the majority of the people who don't want are actually indecisive or they're on the fence. And I think that existing restrictions, without going overboard, existing restrictions have the potential to convert a large percentage of these indecisive people naturally in a way. So we leave only the hardcore anti-vaxxers, which is luckily they're a minority. So in the long term, it should work. That's my quick answer on that.
And how about the language that's being used to communicate the government's stance? Sort of a very firm stand, as it were. What impact might this type of communication have?
I think that's a very, very great question, which is the heart of the question right now. We at Amir Research previously proposed something called science communication campaigns. And the reason for that is because, as I mentioned, political issues, unfortunately, even mainstream media is also affected by this trust deficit issues. So without a critical mass of independent expert voices in these channels, all of these channels, these factors, it reinforces the belief that either mainstream media is influenced by government or there's censorship and whatnot. So it limits this spectrum of public opinion. So we suggested engaging independent expert voices that are expert in science communication, which is basically the method of conveying scientific or technical issues in a very easily digestible manner. It's a discipline by itself, but they work together with media professionals who are experts in public psychology, in advertisement, in campaign, and so on and so forth. And I believe if you combine the two very powerful disciplines, we get a very powerful tool. And this is not something new. Even the World Health Organization, they referred to this as flattening the infodemic curve, in fact. So instead of pandemic, they said this is infodemic. And scientists are the information frontliners, quote unquote, per se.
Now, given that our adult population vaccination rate has hit 93.8% at this point, is such a hard stance on getting vaccinated even necessary?
When we discuss whether it's necessary or not, we have to go back to data and science. And data and science are ever-changing. So that's another second thing we have to remember, and they're not set in stone. But we have to do the best with the currently available information that is trusted. So this has to be the principle. Data and science, but they're not set in stone, but we have to make the best with what we have now. So is the virus real? Is it contagious? Yes. Will vaccines help? Yes. Will it reduce symptoms? Definitely. But not so much so in terms of its ability to reduce transmission or for you to get for you to carry it or transmit it. So because of these, let's just say, data that points to both vaccinated or unvaccinated people having similar, or there are some studies saying lower, but a lot of data saying that similar viral loads. Basically, you might be carrying and transmitting it just as well if you're not vaccinated. But based on that principle, as well as the fact that protection of the general public has to be more than the protection of individual rights, current data, and I repeat, current data would advise us to err on the side of caution. So I would say the answer is yes, you should push. But instead of just do what thou will, quote unquote, approach, the question is how hard should you push? So this goes back to the numbers. So are the numbers really significant? So we're talking about over 85% of people in Malaysia that agrees. 15% disagree, but out of that 15%, only 4% are the strong, hardcore anti-vaxxers. So we focus on the 11% who are on the fence, and the 11% is, of course, significant, but with pushing and convincing, without going all the way to hardcore restrictions, most of the 11%, I believe, can be converted. Because we have to remember, like I mentioned just now, the root cause of why people are hesitant in the first place, as well as with respect to individual rights.
Now, as we sort of look towards this becoming a long-term strategy, there's already talk of booster shots and whether this is something we might have to get, like the flu jab, something we take regularly. Do we need a change in approach so that we get people on board for the long term?
Oh, that's a very good question. You see, right now, I think a lot of people underestimate basic SOPs. And that is, physical distancing, wearing masks. And the reason, because, as I mentioned, even if you're vaccinated, you're still carrying it. And you might be transmitting it as well. And transmission and replication of the virus is the root for variants. So if we take that for granted, we're not talking boosters. We're talking restarting vaccination process all over again. Because when we talk about a variant that emerges because people don't adhere to these SOPs, then the current vaccines don't actually work. And that, for us, unfortunately, that goes back to square one. So that is why we should not ever take lightly the SOPs right now and take vaccination for granted, because it contributes. It contributes to the emergence of variants. And if the variant mutates significantly enough to evade a vaccine-induced immunity, then we are back to square one. So I think ensuring SOPs right now is of utmost priority. But we have to do certain studies to monitor our immunological status as well as the virus genome. So that will be my answer to that.
So some experts are saying that we need a more targeted approach to address specific fears and concerns about getting vaccinated. Are there other more tailored solutions that the government could be using to appeal to different groups?
I would say yes. And given the topic that we're discussing, what the health minister said, and I think, of course, we are aware of what the opposition leader mentioned as well, I would take a balanced approach, not just targeted. I know you mentioned targeted approach, but it's a balanced approach of being firm and fair at the same time by people-driven policies instead of authoritatively forceful until, and this is important, until and unless new longer-term data emerges. So the government can communicate using signed communication campaigns that I just mentioned just now, but at the same time, they allow natural course of the majority of the people, meaning people, businesses, places, venues, services, to also practice their right to provide or deny entry or services so that there's a democratic voice and choice of the people here. Luckily for Malaysia, that's the case. Most people agree to it. A large chunk of people agree to it. So this will organically take place. And it's sort of like a mandate by the people for the people, mandate by the majority influencing the minority. So I think that goes hand in hand with a targeted approach, which I think the Ministry of Health just mentioned that they are going to engage the anti-vaxxers directly, which I believe is a sign that both sides of the political divides are working together and recognizing this issue. So I think that's very good.
Are there lessons from other countries on how they've approached those who are not willing to be vaccinated?
If you look at the US, for example, our situation is a bit different. The US is an extreme example, but it's a good example because they reach a plateau now with their vaccination coverage, with just half of their population fully vaccinated. So Malaysia is much, much better. We're nearly 70% of our total population is fully vaccinated. And in terms of our adult population, it's 93.8%. So much, much better. That said, there are certain things that we can reflect what the US is doing, whereby the Biden administration is mandating vaccination for all federal workers. So in Malaysia, civil servants might have to be mandated as well. But at least from the private sector, they should be allowed to practice their freedom. In this case, I believe that most of them would want to enforce vaccine mandates, which, as I mentioned, is a natural or an organic strategy of convincing the majority of those on the fence. But of course, the hardcore anti-vaxxers need a more targeted approach.
Amin, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you very much, Ramila, for having me.
That was Amin Kamal, Head of Science and Technology at Emir Research, weighing in on the health minister saying that they are going to make life difficult for those who choose not to get vaccinated. And we've been asking you for your thoughts on exactly that. Do you agree with the government that we should do that? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. I just wanted to, we're getting plenty of messages already, and I just wanted to look at two that are kind of giving us both sides of the fence, really. So we have Alvin, who says, anti-vaxxers are people who have made up their minds and no campaign can change their decision. They choose to make life difficult for themselves. And meanwhile, we have Anna, who says, I don't agree with KJ's approach, especially when about 97% of adults are already partially vaccinated. It sounds like a threatening of rights rather than for health protection reasons, and it's driving the divide between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. And I think those two messages really do sort of capture how you might have responded to the statement from the health minister. Because on the one hand, there is this, I think, almost resentment of people who have chosen not to get vaccinated, and many see them as perhaps contributing to a problem, an issue that we've been facing for so long and we just really want to put behind us. But on the other hand, as you said, Anna, I think there are those who feel that forcing it upon people, making it sound like you're going to take away things that they should be able to do, may not necessarily sit right with others. So keep those thoughts coming. Do you agree with the government's stand on making life difficult for those who've refused to get vaccinated? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll discuss vaccine hesitancy and how best to approach it. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It is 6:38. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila. And today we're talking about vaccine hesitancy, those who refuse to get vaccinated, and the government's stand on it. This is coming, of course, on the wake of the health minister saying that they intend to make life difficult for those who refuse the vaccine. And so we've been asking you for your thoughts. Do you agree with the government that they should make life difficult for those who choose not to get vaccinated? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got so many messages already. So before we go on to our next guest, just a look at some of your thoughts. Let's see, we have this from Maggie, who says, I know this sounds undemocratic, but I would have gone ahead to work towards getting vaccination to the max, but I wouldn't say anything so boldly. This is where less is more. I really recommend that our leaders go through PR courses to learn when, how, and what and how much should be announced. I hope KJ will remember that one can't be overly candid, no matter what his personal feelings or views are. In the past, the government had done methodical vaccination with minimal song and dance and had safeguarded the rakyat as best as possible. Maybe we should take a lesson out of this and approach things slowly but surely. You know, Maggie, I think there's something there, right? Because I do know that all the media outlets sort of putting it on their headline, the whole make life difficult, did have a fairly forceful impact on a lot of people. And even those who support vaccination might feel like it signals perhaps something that seems more negative than it should. And so I see where you're coming from there. We do, however, have Yap saying, after more than 20 months of soft approaches, educating the public of the scientific benefits of vaccinations and all the efforts disproving the myths against vaccination, the government has done what it should. Talking about trust deficits are no longer valid, and the right not to vaccinate that can prolong the pandemic is in itself a crime. I disagree with the government wanting to make lives difficult for those refusing the vaccination. The government should make lives very difficult for this group. So, two sides of the fence there, and that really is the tone of a lot of the messages that are coming through. People who do agree with the idea of vaccinations, but not necessarily thinking that it should be expressed in such a firm way. Others who think that this is exactly the path that we should be taking, and do weigh in. Do you think that the government saying we should make life difficult for those who have chosen not to get vaccinated is an approach that works? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, to look at the notion of vaccine hesitancy, and specifically how perhaps we should be addressing specific concerns in specific ways, we now have on the line with us Tuan Haji Hakim bin Haji Hamiza, who is Honorary Secretary General of the Malaysian Red Crescent Society. Tuan Haji Hakim, thank you for being with us today.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for having me on.
So you've engaged with communities that are either hesitant or resistant towards the idea of vaccinations. What has your experience been like in terms of how easy or difficult it is to change their minds?
I guess there are different types of those who are either hesitant or resistant towards vaccination. For those who are thinking that it may not be halal, the vaccines are not halal, then we probably need to approach this from the aspect or from the viewpoint of the religious scholars, whereby many religious scholars around the world have agreed that vaccination is necessary for us to arrest the rise in the number of those affected by the pandemic. For those who are either hesitant or resistant for various other reasons, some who are still not convinced the effectiveness of this vaccine. We got sufficient data that says that as the number of those who are vaccinated in the country rises, number of those who are infected and those who have been hospitalized have certainly dropped drastically. And this has certainly lessened the burden that we have on our medical facilities nationwide. So this is certainly a positive point towards vaccination. So therefore, we need to really understand why a certain group or community that is either resistant or resistant towards vaccination, and then we need to approach them accordingly.
So opposition leader Anwar Ibrahim has, of course, spoken about engaging meaningfully with unvaccinated groups. And you also said that we should approach this accordingly. Now, what might that look like? What approach can we take?
We need to firstly understand what their concerns are of this group of communities who are hesitant or resistant towards vaccination. If they're still not convinced of the data or the research findings that that vaccination works, then we need to approach them in the sense that we need to convince them and show them the data and the case studies that has been in place that show that vaccines is effective. So we need to address them head on based on the issues or the concerns that they have, rather than trying to beat around the bush or trying to force them into getting themselves vaccinated.
So aside from medical reasons, what are some of the biggest reasons for people not wanting to get vaccinated?
As I've mentioned earlier, it may be for religious reasons. There are also probably those who are still not convinced by the data, although it is clear worldwide, it's not just in Malaysia, it is worldwide that people are getting themselves vaccinated, not just in the country, not just in our region, not just in Asia, but it's worldwide. Even in Western countries, more developed countries, people are getting themselves vaccinated. Although I must say that the rate of vaccination have been quite advanced in our country as opposed to others. But still, in general, it's proven that vaccination works. And we've seen in TV, in Wimbledon, and in the EPL, and the Euro competition, whereby stadiums are now full and people can live their lives back to how it was before, and we are now treating it as an endemic.
Do you think the public messaging from the government has been effective so far?
I would say it has been effective, definitely, because our rate of vaccination have gone way above 90%. We were targeting between 70% to 80% of the adults to get them vaccinated. Now we've exceeded 90%, and we are also vaccinating our children now, the adolescents. So definitely, the messaging has been effective, and more people are getting themselves vaccinated.
So what do you make of the Health Minister's most recent statement that they want to make life difficult for those who are not vaccinated? Is this something that's likely to convince people to get the shots?
There are differing views on this approach. Some may say that it would make people get more convinced to get themselves vaccinated. Others may disagree with this approach. But I would just like to make this point that like as we now are opening up our schools, we are opening up our education institutions, we are opening up businesses, people are concerned when there are still those who are not vaccinated lurking around us. People who are sending their children to schools are now aware, or they have access to information on the number of people who have yet to get themselves vaccinated in schools, amongst the teachers, amongst the administrators. So people are concerned of the safety of their children. So we need to find a way to convince these people who are still not convinced about inoculation. We need to address them in a more probably targeted way to in order to convince them that the vaccine works.
Could making the vaccine mandatory be something that works?
As I've said, there are people who believe in this idea, but there are others who may still be against this idea of making it mandatory. I think we are close to getting everyone vaccinated in the country, including especially the adults and the adolescents who have documents, Malaysians and migrants who have documents. And now we are getting those migrants who are undocumented, the refugees and the stateless people. I think maybe there is a fine way to address this issue, as the earlier caller who expressed her opinion, that we need to address this issue in a fine way to ensure to get more and more people vaccinated.
And finally, for those who might know someone who's either hesitant or resistant to getting vaccinated, what is your advice?
I think they need to, as I've said earlier, they need to understand the reasons why these people are still not getting themselves vaccinated. These people might be reading information from various sources. Some information are flying in the social media. Some information are getting viral through the social media, through WhatsApp messages and so on. We just need to know what their concerns are, where their sources of information come from, in order to better address their issues and make them understand that there is an urgent need for them to get themselves vaccinated.
Tuan Haji Hakim, thank you for speaking with us today.
You're welcome.
That was Tuan Haji Hakim bin Haji Hamizah, Honorary Secretary General of Malaysian Red Crescent Society, speaking to us about vaccine hesitancy and how a targeted approach might be one way to convince them. Do share your thoughts with us. Do you agree with the government's approach that we make life difficult for those who choose not to get vaccinated? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We have so many messages already. We'll get to them after this. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.